You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this. Hello, friends. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Blythe Alpern. Did y'all know that I'm Gen X? I am. I am sometimes very amused if I take an online survey or personality quiz based on the generation labels, because sometimes they are spot on for me. Blythe is also Gen X, and she's actually the host of her very own show called The Gen X Experience. What we talk about today is not really Gen X, although it of course comes up, but we talk about dating and romance and a decision that Blythe made a few years ago about that for herself. I think you're going to love it. So let's get to the conversation. Welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. Blythe Alpern, are you ready for a fun chat today?
I am. I'm looking forward to being a guest instead of the interviewer.
That's right. So inside scoop, I was on Blythe's show, and I'll tell you more about her show towards the end. But she's also got a podcast, and she's a wonderful host. So this is the flipping of the script. I start all of my conversations asking my guests what part of the world they call home. Where are you these days?
I am in Atlanta, Georgia.
Love it. And so one more warm-up question before we dig into the topic of the day. How does art or beauty show up in your life day to day?
Well, I am a copywriter, so I am basically an artist all the time. And I do work with beauty brands, so it's a combination of beauty and art and just getting to be creative, which is stressful, but I also love it a lot.
Love that answer. Fantastic. Beauty in copywriting. I love it. All right. We are going to talk today about a choice that you made a couple years ago with relationships. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to let you sort of lead it because, and I'm not trying to keep this a secret or have like some big dangly thing, but when I was writing out this first question, when I was getting ready for this, I had it flashed in my head. I was like, I might be making some assumptions here of what she meant with this description. And I don't want to do that. But are you ready to talk with me about this today?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So the year is 2023. Not now, but when this happened. What was going on in your life when we talk about relationships in 2023?
So it was kind of a combination. I was like in the throes of perimenopause, which I feel like I have not stopped talking about since 2019, but I was like going through it, trying to figure out what was going on and to find a doctor. And at the same time, I was dating someone, and it's just that relationship, it started off really good, really well. But I didn't know he was love bombing me, and I had never had, I didn't even know what that was. As you know, that's not something that we talked about growing up. So I was like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. And then it just sort of kind of started to just decline. And it was like the same text every morning and the same text in the evening. And it was just boring. And I just felt like he was tuning out. And really kind of the final straw is I had to go home to my hometown with my sister because her best friend's mom had passed away. And this was someone I knew growing up. And I did not hear from him one time. And I was driving like by myself, and I went to see my brother, and I was driving back. And I think at one point, I got stuck in traffic because there was a chemical spill on the highway and I had to go around. And he didn't seem to care that I was staying by myself or driving by myself. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to be with a partner. And so I just kind of made the decision that like, not that I'm not open to love, I'm not cutting out, but I'm not doing the apps anymore. And I'm not actively like putting myself in situations where I just don't want to go to singles events. And because I'm just happier by myself. And I just want to, you know, work on me and building my life. And if somebody comes along that's the right fit, then great. But otherwise, I'm good.
Okay. So yeah, because when I wrote the question, I was like, okay, is this about the apps? And I didn't know, so I didn't want to ask. Okay. So you mentioned, I didn't want to assume. You mentioned a couple areas of focus when you wrote this out in the pitch, and I'm going to walk you through this in the next couple questions so you can share a little bit more about what was driving this choice. You shared that after so many terrible dates with so many awful, lazy, lackluster men, I knew enough was enough. Copywriter by trade. That's a very specific description. The word choice makes me chuckle. Can you share more about, because you talked about this one relationship, but like your description is more more encompassing of male kind. Tell us more about what you were experiencing then.
So from like 2015 to mostly 2020, I kind of took time off dating because my parents had gotten sick. They both passed away in that time. And I just didn't have the capacity to give to anyone else. And I didn't want to drag anybody else into all the stuff that was going on. And then I moved to Atlanta and I'm like, okay, I'm going to try dating. And I have had the worst dates of my entire life have all taken place in Atlanta. And I have lived in Miami and Chicago and New York. And I had a date that lasted 5 minutes because the guy was so rude and just obnoxious. He was rude to the
waitress.
I'm like
grinning, but I don't mean to be. I'm grinning because it's an entertaining story. Sorry.
He was so, and then he like kind of followed me out of the restaurant, was yelling at me in the parking lot. I went out with a guy who he didn't know how to read a menu. Like he didn't know what something was. And I had to go up to the waiter and be like, he doesn't eat this. Like just, and guys would be like, okay, I don't know your area. So where do you want to go? I'm like, you Google is free. Like you literally, it's so easy to type where to go on a date. Like what is good in this area? And I just got tired and the guys would ghost you on the apps. They're just using you as like, you know, boost their ego. There's bots on there. There's people trying to get your information, like your passwords and just weird, weird stuff going on. And I just got tired. I'm like, why am I putting effort when I'm not getting the effort back? And I deserve better. Every woman deserves better than a man with a picture of a fish. Because there's a lot of them on there. And I just was like, no, I'm just gonna choose a different path and stop thinking that I need a man in my life to like complete me. The notion that we're all told when we're growing up, you need a man and then you're good.
Right. Happiness comes if you follow the instruction. Okay, so you make a decision. You describe it as deciding to stop trying to find my person. So was this mostly about swearing off the apps? And I am not a dating app expert, but I must admit I don't ever hear positive things very often about the apps. Although I meet a lot of people who find relationships on apps also. So was it mostly about closing the dating app accounts or what else was going on?
That was definitely a huge catalyst. It was just a waste of time. It's even though I'm an adult in my 50s, it's still hard on your ego when you're being treated so poorly. And this happens to women across the age range. Like it's not just, women in their 50s. You hear it from younger women too, in their 20s, 30s, et cetera. And then I've gone to a couple of like single events and I was like, okay, I'm the youngest person in this room. And I'm in my, like, the time was like late 40s, early 50s. I'm like, no. And I just felt like I was putting in effort and not getting anything back. And there are just other things that I just didn't want to put so much focus. That's what I did in my 20s and my 30s. And it really did affect my life. And I'm like, why am I? I've been through the worst thing ever. I lost both my parents. And I am resilient through that. And even though it hurts still every day, I don't want to have some man also trying to drag me down when I'm trying to build a business and a life and the podcast. And I choose as was Samantha said in one of the Sex in the City movies, I choose me.
Yeah.
And that's what I decided to do.
And I think that's good. So let's talk. So you mentioned that you lost both of your parents. So they were not there to help you, give you feedback or support you when you made this decision. Was it something that you came to like all on your own, like on a walk in the shower? Or was it something that you were talking about with other people, friends, support group therapists, stuff like that?
Definitely, partially it was me and the experience of dating here in Atlanta, but I would talk to my friends about it because some of my friends are also single and they live in different areas. I have some friends that live here and they're single and we would just talk about, it was the same nonsense we were all facing and just questioning like, why are we putting ourselves through this? Why are we making ourselves feel bad when we could be doing something else? And maybe at some point, men will start to get a clue that their bad behavior is the reason that they're lonely. Not because women don't want to be with you, your behavior. Like if we're telling you that we would choose a bear over you, that should be a clue.
I don't know. Mostly the audience of the show is women, but if there is a man out there listening thinking, but I'm not that bad. Listen, generalizations do, you know, they just are generalizations, right? That totally is the case. But the bear thing is pretty funny. It really was a funny time to be alive when we were having the bear conversation. All right, so you talked about it with your friends. When you were talking about it with people, did they give you feedback? Was there like agreement? Did you get any pushback, or was it something that you didn't kind of announce? Like, you talked about it with friends, but you didn't make like a public announcement, like, "Hello, world, I'm closing my apps."
I definitely didn't get any pushback from any of my friends. My best friend loves like, or well, her husband and her love when I would send like pictures or like comments I would get from guys. You know, there was one time I sent someone and they were that had swiped on me, and my best friend's husband was like, I hope you're swiping left because he looks like he wants to use your skin as a lamp. So I was like, okay, I'm dating for their amusement. But no, none of all my friends are supportive. My brother and sister are supportive. I don't think I made like the official announcement. I just kind of stopped doing it. And then I think people ask, I'm like, yeah, I'm not dating. I'm not interested.
I can totally see that. It is one of those things where it's like you don't actually have to tell anybody. You can just not do it. And I think fatigue, there's even like I read about it. There's like fatigue with the apps overall, like people are fatigued with dating apps and multiple age groups. One of the funny outcrops of that is that the affection for running clubs as a place to like meet and meet other people. And this story is about a decade old, but like I've been a longtime run club person, and like 10 years ago I was somebody who was like, "Hey, why don't you go to Brickell Run Club?" And I was like, "Oh, I kind of think of it as like a meat market, like for young kids, which is fine. They can have fun with it. It's hundreds of people. I can do my run at home." And the guy who I was talking to was like, no, it's totally not like that." And in the 2 minutes that I was talking to him about it was so funny because at that exact moment, like people were coming up and they're like, "Well, how was your hookup with this person? And what was that?" And all of these things. And I was like, there's nothing wrong with it being a single scene here. I'm just saying I'm not coming for the single scene." Super funny, very funny. Anyway, how has your life changed as a result of making that decision? Because you said you wanted to focus on you and the things you were building. How has your life changed?
I don't, get up in the morning and be like, oh, I gotta check the apps, or I don't spend time. I mean, now I spend time doom scrolling on TikTok and Instagram, which I keep telling myself to stop doing because it's not great for your mental health. But yeah, I don't think about men. Like when I'm out for a walk with my dog, I just walk. Like I stop caring as much about what, someone thought of me. Which is, I know as we get older, they say you do that. It's not that easy to just turn it off. And I really just poured myself into my work and the podcast and spending time with family and friends and just feeling I didn't have to answer to anyone. I didn't have to explain like why I didn't want to do something or, think about going somewhere. I'm like, oh, what if I don't have a date? I'm like, I'll just, either not go or go by myself, which isn't always easy as an introvert, but I just put my efforts, into working out and to just other things that brought me fulfillment.
I love that. And so I have a question about doing things by yourself, but first I want to open Pandora's box. One of the things that you mentioned was that you had made peace with the realization that you didn't think you'd be a mom. And talking to people about parenthood is what I talk about, like societal's Pandora's box. People have very strong opinions about this. And so only share what you feel comfortable. But I would like to give you the chance to share a little bit of reflection about whether or not parenthood was something that when you were much younger that you had thought about as an adult, or even just assumed that it was the thing that everybody did. Like, what was that process like for you?
Yeah, I definitely assume that's what everyone did, but I wanted to be a mom. I'm the oldest of three. My sister's only 16 months younger, but my brother is 4 years, and I would be like, oh, my baby. And, nurturing is just who I am. And I just always dreamed of my life of having, I used to want four kids,
Okay.
which, and then as I got a little older, I was like, two is fine. But yeah, I really wanted to be a mom. And, I have a nephew who's 14 and two nieces. They're both 12. And I love getting to see them grow up. And, when they were little, and sometimes I would be a little sad. I'm like, I'm not going to get to have this. But at the same time, I do get to have some of it. And then I get to go home And I don't have to take anyone. I'm not, you know, Uber. I'm not like, you know, I don't have to go to everything. I don't have to deal with all the kid, the homework and everything. So I try to remind myself as that. But yeah, it took me probably until I was in my 40s to be like, okay, this is what my life is going to look like. And I can either dwell on it and be unhappy, or I can accept it and make the best of it and, you know, be the cool aunt who spoils them and shows up for them. And so that's what I'm doing.
And there's a lot of variety and options for how people end up with where they deal with that. I think it's a very interesting human dynamic because all children have parents. So like our exposure when we're kids is that, like, you know, all the adults we know have children. Like, we don't ever, as a child, you may not really ever run into the adults who are not having kids because they're not coming to the pediatrician office and they're not hanging out at the playground because that would be creepy. Right. And so it is an interesting thing. And it leads into this like mindset of you use the word acceptance when it comes to like readjusting to like, hey, this is what my life is going to look like. And we can talk about this. And then also doing things by yourself. Was it partly like acceptance, but also like, hey, it's not actually necessary. Like, it's not unusual for somebody to be in the spot that I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, it took me probably longer to get to like, it's not unusual because, you know, I'm Gen X. And like, we were sold that you grow up, you go to college, you get married, the white picket fence with 2.5 kids. I don't know what 0.5 is, but yeah. You just think that's what you're supposed to do. And especially as a woman, you're made to feel like a failure if you don't have children. Men aren't made to feel that way, but we are. And so it took me a while to realize, hey, you know, not everybody has them, and a lot of people make the choice not to. And then there are some of us who wanted to and it just didn't happen, and you know, that's okay too. And because you do run into more people that as you get older that don't have kids, or their kids are grown and so they're living a different life as well.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. So like, women are judged based on their decision of whether or not they have children. I would never sugarcoat that they aren't, but it should not be a value judgment about, are you a good person? And that I think is a big leap. And then this summer I did some solo travel and I had to I have a big family. Being alone until recently was hard for me to figure out how to do it. So I did some solo travel. And it was super interesting because I am an extrovert, but I had to like rework that through, like get up the courage to go and do things by myself. And a big piece of it, in the beginning, it was super funny because I was like, there are tons of people out here by themselves once I actually get out here. And then there was that awareness. And then there was also, I kept remembering, I was like, I used to do like stuff all by myself all the time. It was like a reset that it was like, I don't have to be with somebody else. Like, this is something I can do. So talk a little bit about how you work through that, because you're an introvert. So how do you work through that when you have now decided you're like, this is what I'm going to do for this moment? How do you, when it comes up and you're like, do I want to go by myself? How do you work yourself through it?
Sometimes it's just like, no, I'm not going. Like, I just, the anxiety, the introvert, I'm like, I just can't do this. So I just don't. But there are situations like for my 50th birthday last year, I went on a solo trip with a group, but it was a solo trip to Portugal with Wild Terrains. And I had the most amazing time. The women were incredible, but I also had alone time and I enjoyed it. I loved walking around Lisbon and Porto. Porto was like one of my favorite cities. It was great. I didn't feel weird or, you know, I just had a good time. I went and ate by myself and went and looked at a museum and it was great. But there are times, you know, that my anxiety and introvertedness like just are just like sitting like a boulder on my shoulders being like, we are not doing this today. And sometimes I can force myself to go. And then other times I'm like, you know what, it's okay. Just stay home. There's other things. But it is hard because sometimes it does make you antisocial where you're like, well, I could just sit home and not get in Atlanta traffic and have to get dressed. And then you start talking yourself out of it. And so definitely one of my goals for next year, I'm like, I got to start doing stuff, even if it is there's lots of great coffee shops here. I'm like, even just to go to a coffee shop by myself, but people do that all the time. And, you know, and also not be hard on myself if I'm like, yeah, I'm feeling antisocial, and just let myself be antisocial and know that that's not going to be the way it is all the time.
No, I think that's very good. So I love that you took the trip. I have not done a travel where I'm in a group, a solo a person that is a solo group. But one of the things that did happen this past summer is that, the kid, one of the kids called and was like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm happily doing all of the things today that you guys would make fun of me wanting to do if we were together, and I'm having the greatest time. Talk to you later." You know? I was like, I'm gonna. It was. I was like, went to see. I went to see like the locks of a dam, and I was like, totally walking through the tour, being like, everyone in my family would be making fun of me right now, and I'm having the greatest time. So
Yes.
it was like very, very good. All right, so in a second we're gonna do the final questions, but I do want to let you tell people, tell us a little bit if you want about what you do. And then also describe, tell people about your show. And I'll remind you about this if we get off topic, but what you do and about your show and your podcast.
So I am a copywriter, and no, that does not mean that I do copyright law. They're totally different things. Basically, I'm a writer in advertising, and so I've started my career. Obviously, I did the traditional stuff. Like, if you ever watch Mad Men, I like to say I was Peggy, except I didn't sleep with my account person. So, but I was on the creative side, and I love coming up with ideas for brands, campaigns. I do websites, and I do emails and blog posts. And then one of my favorite things is brainstorming or strategy sessions, because I just love working the creative muscle and I like being a writer. And so I get to write for different kinds of brands. I've written for different kinds of brands my career, some of them not so good. So Purdue Pharma, for example, but I've also worked on Lancome and like smaller brands as well. So it's just fun to get to work with different people and also just to connect with other creatives as well. My favorite creative people are, of course, copywriters and art directors, because art directors are the partner to a copywriter. So I started my own business in 2021, I think, and it's called Word Woman Creative. That's what my dad used to call me when he needed writing help. He was an orthodontist, but he patents everything. So whenever he needed someone to edit his work or help him come up with something, a name for that, he would be like, "I need Word Woman." So I knew what kind of help he needed, and so in honor of him and my mom, I named my business after them. And then it's been almost 2 years. I started my own podcast. I've been a fan of podcasts for a very long time, like decades. And I always like wanted to have one, and then it took me a little while, and I was like, okay, I want to do one on Gen X, because I feel like we get ignored, partially because we want to be ignored.
Exactly. We're fine with it.
Yes.
We don't. We learned early on the way to avoid getting in trouble is just not be seen. Yes.
Exactly. Children are to be seen and not heard. And, even though we respected authority, we didn't trust them. And, so we kind of stayed in our own lane. But I just kind of get tired of, like, you'll see the news talk about generations. And I'm like, so 1965 to 1980 just didn't happen? Like, we just skipped over. So I want to give us a place. I started to give us a place to come and talk about different topics. So every month we cover a different topic. We've talked about dating. We talked about solo travel. We've talked about beauty over 40, just all kinds of different things. And it's for men and women. I want it to be like a community for everybody. Granted, there are more female topics because I am a woman. So, but it's just kind of my passion project and a fun outlet to just chat. Like, I had you on the show. It's just so fun to chat with other Gen Xers and hear our similarities and our differences, because again, like most generations, we're 15 years. So people born in the early, like in the early part of a generation, have a different experience than people born at the end of our generation. So it's just kind of fun to meet different people and to do it from the comfort of my own home.
Yes, absolutely. I love the story about the connection between your business being a nod to the nickname your dad had for you. I think that that's great. So the name of your show is the Gen X Experience, right? Gen X Experience. And I love that. There's a lot of Gen X stuff that I see now. Who is your favorite? This is a bonus random question. Who would you say is your favorite or one of your favorite of the Gen X sort of comedy influencer people who are out on the socials these days?
Well, I did have the dad bod veteran on the podcast, and I love the little group. They're doing a tour. What is, I can't remember what the name of it is. And it's just, I like that they just comment on things. And so he's definitely a favorite. Then there's, what is it? She calls herself Sherry. And then there's a
Sherry, yep.
And the professor, like there's one other person, and I've been seeing them lately on AARP's TikTok. And it's so funny. And they did like a little reenactment of the Breakfast Club, like the scene where they're running to get back to the classroom. And it's just nice. The snarkiness, the sarcasm, and just the reminiscing. It's just fun. I'm like, yes, you just watch and go, yes, I did that. Yes, I identify with that. And
yeah. That's the group that has Kelly Mano, I think.
Yes, that's it. That's the other one.
And she can still do the dances. I never learned any of those. I watch her do them, and I remember them from when I was that age, but I was not actually on the dance floor doing any of those dances and never knew them. But have you seen the video of where she stabs the apple from the side?
I don't know if I have seen that one.
She has like this secret talent that I do not think ever existed. She's the only person I think on the planet that can do this, but she thought that everyone did it. She can toss up an apple and like with her fork, she just can catch it on the side. And like, then there's all these other people trying to do it. And of course, when anybody else on the planet does it, the apple bounces away. Like it's like, and she, I don't know how she, you would think it was like a fiction video, but it's a real thing she does. Anyway, high quality entertainment on the interwebs from this. You have a special offer for the audience related to your copywriting services. It's a done for you website content creation service strategy session. That's an armful. That's a mouthful. Let me say it again. You can book a done for you website content creation service and receive a free strategy session. Okay, there we go. Usually that's $450, and there's a code, and the code, everybody can find all of that in the show notes or the description wherever you're watching or listening to this episode. And also the easiest way to get this information is in the newsletter that I send out to the subscribers. I always say that. I want to thank you for that very generous offer for the audience. And also I'll put the information about your show in all of the places. I was a guest, as I mentioned before. We talked about beauty because I am an authority on beauty. And I'll post that also. Are you ready, Blythe, for the final three rapid fire questions?
I am, yes.
Do you have a favorite color, and is it the same as when you were a kid?
My favorite color is blue. It's been my favorite color for a long time, but I feel like purple was probably, which is not too far from blue. I think purple was my favorite color as a kid.
All right. I love it. All right. If you had to pick one store to buy all of your clothes for the rest of your life, you do not get to change, what store do you choose?
I would go with Nordstrom because they have...
That's a good choice.
Brands, yeah.
They have a lot of stuff there.
And a good shoe section, because I'm a shoe girl, so I need a good selection of shoes.
That is a very good choice. Yeah, Nordstrom is all about the shoes, 100%. Okay, so can you share the last really good book that you read or listened to that you think everybody in the audience should give a shot?
Yes, it's called The Correspondent. I know it made Goodreads a couple of their lists. I don't know why it didn't win. And it's basically about a woman writing to different people during her life. And, you know, there's a little bit of a mystery to it. And so you get to kind of find out about her life through her letters. And I did listen to the audiobook, and it's really well done, because sometimes you listen to audiobooks and they ruin the book, and then sometimes they make it better. But I love letters. It's such a lost art form. And it was just nice hearing that. And, you know, even like her next door neighbor, they started like a little correspondence, and it was just really sweet. And yeah, I couldn't recommend it more.
That is a wonderful recommendation. Do you write letters still for yourself?
I don't. And I mean, occasionally I'll send, you know, if I send someone a present, I'll write in there if I'm feeling it. Sometimes I just write my name. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's for me. But I kind of miss it. I miss like when we had pen pals, or you'd go away or you'd go on vacation and you'd always tell your friends, like, I'm going to send you a postcard.
Yeah.
I feel like we just don't do that anymore. And I kind of wish we did.
Yeah. No, it has been replaced. That's it. Blythe Alpern, thank you so much for being a wonderful guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously, subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obviously, again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself. head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adult to your adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.